Hey, podcast family. Did you know that on May 2nd and 3rd, 2024, our 3D Growth Summit is happening in Nashville, Tennessee? But in-person tickets are already sold out with nearly 400 attendees. But you don't have to miss out. You can get exclusive access to our live stream and post-event recordings for just $395. Yes, you heard that right. For a single fee, you and your entire dental team can learn from our industry leaders with online recordings available after the event. So secure your spot now before it's too late by visiting www.3d-dentist.com/3dsummit or give us a call at 855-332-2285 and get your tickets for the live stream and event recording today. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Welcome back, everybody. Listen, this week we're going to be talking with Dr. Sagar Shaw, San Jose, California. And we're going to be talking about something that I've been talking about a lot, which is slowing down. But we're going to talk about it from an absolutely different perspective, from a health scare perspective, and how that affects everything and what the outcome has been for him. So I'm excited to share this conversation with you guys. But before we do, let's turn it over to our number one sponsor, Meredith. Now you're our 3D sponsor.
Meredith,
so you know.
Of 3D Dentist. So hi, everyone. I have a review before we get started today. If you have not left us a review on Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate it. This one says, T-Bone gives great real-world advice for dentists looking for ways to improve themselves and their practices. I appreciate how he isn't afraid to talk about the difficulties he faces.
Well, when all you face are difficulties in your life.
I was going to say something, but it wasn't going to be that mean.
I mean, if all you face are difficulties in your life, it can't be that terrible. Any, Meredith, we got any classes to sell this week?
Yeah, so I just wanted to remind everyone that our first digital implant continuum of the year, February 3rd through 5th and February 23rd through the 26th, we'll have live patients. It'll be a great time. Stay at the retreat. Come learn how to place some guided implants.
Yeah, you know, I believe implants is the gateway drug to really slowing down your practice. Mm-hmm. But anyway, thank you, Meredith. If everybody has questions about 3D Dentists and the boot camp or the retreat or just leaving us a review, if you need help on how to get to Google, there's a website. Sorry, Google that shit
Let
for you.
Let me Google that for you.
Yeah, so you can try that out. But listen, let's bring on our guest for this week, and that's Dr. Sagar Shaw. Sagar, how are you doing?
Good, good, amazing, great. Just,
I have a question. Did you paint the black lines into your goatee? Because you have gray on the sides and then gray right here at the chin part of it. So I'm just trying
to
figure out.
Yeah, I got some white out. I got some white out for the middle. And I got like a Sharpie for the black, you know, for the sides. So, but no, actually, you know, I was already in a trajectory of going white, and then just recently, it just exponentially, I say it's getting quote unquote gentrified. So I think all the white hair is coming in and all the black is going out.
Wait a minute. Your face is woke is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it's woke. It's really woke. Yeah.
Well, Sagar, before we get into the main part of your story today, why don't we give everybody a brief intro about who you are, how you ended up in San Jose, how you ended up as a dentist without taking too much time, but just kind of give us the 2-minute version of that.
Sure. My name is Sagar Shaw, 35 years old and live in the South Bay in the Bay Area. I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, went to college at Vanderbilt, went to dental school at NYU and graduated in 2012. I always told myself I would never marry a dentist, but that's where I actually met my lovely wife, who was a year below me. And so after kind of hopping around and living in a couple different places, Nashville included, we ended up living closer to her family here in the Bay Area. So I've been here since 2019. And as you all can imagine, it's been quite a ride with everything that's gone on and also personally as well.
Well, perfect. Thank you so much. You did so good at that. I mean, holy smokes. You did so good at keeping that short. So listen, I ran into you at DS World just a few months back, and we got to talking, and somehow this Instagram thing came up, and it you know, you showed me where you have your Instagram handle is My Head Is a Canvas. So again, that's at My Head Is a Canvas. And we got talking about it, and you shared with me your story about how you recently had a health scare and how that really forced you to slow down, and some different things came of that. And I really want to just kind of give you an opportunity to talk about that, because I think it's so important for everybody else to hear. I'll probably have some specific questions for you as we go through that, related to how you handle it and things like that. And then we'll kind of go from there. So why don't you tell everybody kind of what happened and how that came about?
Sure. So, you know, I 35 years old, like I said, you know, I always thought I was just kind of a young buck, super energetic. I loved life, loved my profession, loved dentistry. You know, and then 2020, the pandemic came rolling around. The Bay Area was the first to actually go into a lockdown, and everything seemed fine. And, you know, after about a month, I started having some symptoms, some really intense lower back pain that just kind of really just came out of the blue. And, you know, oftentimes we kind of overlook these things as, you know, having, you know, faith in our bodies to overcome something, or that it'll just kind of go away. But, you know, one thing led to another, and it came to a point where, you know, I felt like this was, I was experiencing something different. And then my wife had encouraged me to, you know, seek some professional opinions from family, friends, and eventually doctors as to, you know, what this could be, because it's something I've never experienced. And, you know, symptoms like these, if I had felt them, they typically would go away. But anyways, yeah, it was a lower back pain, and I had some telltale symptoms for a specific type of a cancer. And, you know, I had to get checked out for it. And long story short, there was a lot of the symptoms I just kind of, I guess, overlooked, or that just kind of didn't really look into so much. But, you know, after a while, I came to realize that I had what's called lymphoma, diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, stage 4. And, you know, it's something that really just obviously shook up my world, and, you know, just obviously threw me into a loop. So it just kind of came out of nowhere. So, there's a lot, like you said, a lot that came out of it during the journey, and a lot that I thought about leading up to it, what, you know, could have led up to it. And I thought a lot about that. And to be honest, I'm here. I'm actually in remission and living my best life. And to be honest, feel more energetic and actually healthier than ever with a lot of the things I've changed in terms of what I've kind of feed my body, the experiences I try to put myself through. And it's been quite not just the health journey itself, but it's just a personal kind of journey, personal chapter that's kind of reinvigorated me in ways that I'd never imagined.
Well, number one, I'm so happy to hear that you're in remission and doing better. But I have some specific questions for you, and this may show my ignorance a little bit. When you say stage 4, is that the same way they kind of grade all cancers? Stage 4 is essentially not very good?
So stage 4, you know, it's cancer, it kind of runs a whole gamut. And so when I first heard about, you know, someone had told me stage 4, I pretty much thought that was a death sentence. But a lot of the bloodborne cancers and are very treatable, the lymphomas, the leukemias. You know, research has come a long ways. Just, you know, like I said, my symptoms came out of nowhere. Like one day I woke up and, you know, it was just as if I had severe back pain. I thought I just threw out my back sleeping or through ergonomics and dentistry. But it spreads really quickly, or has a potential to spread really quickly. There are different types. But the actual treatments for a lot of these bloodborne cancers actually work just as effectively as well. So luckily, it was a very treatable disease that took about a year-long journey. So.
And was this during the lockdown, or were you working during this time?
You know, so it was the full-fledged symptoms occurred about a month after the lockdown. And so, it was kind of a double.
Yeah.
So we went into lockdown. Unfortunately, I didn't have to go back to work, but, it was kind of a double whammy. I was kind of locked up and then, you know, had the symptoms and then navigating the healthcare system, you know, within all that was,
even harder.
So
I'm confused. Yeah, so it wasn't you said you got locked up. You went to jail during this time too?
Yeah.
Locked down and locked up.
I'm trying to understand what's going on here. Yeah. So I have some additional questions for you. Okay. Where were you at in your career when you found the news out? Were you a practice owner? Were you an associate? You know, you haven't mentioned that your wife is a dentist. Oh, you did mention that. Sorry. Your wife is a dentist. Kind of where is she at? Let's kind of set the stage of kind of where you're at in your career. And then I have some follow-up questions to that.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D dentist digital implant continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Sure. So I'm approaching 10 years as a dentist. I graduated in 2012. My wife and I are both general GPs, and we're both aspiring practice owners, and hopefully that will actually pan out in the next couple of years. But I think, you know, I've had some great experiences as being an associate. I absolutely love my profession. I've come to a point where I'm pretty comfortable wanting to, you know, own my own business, kind of carry out my own philosophy more than anything. And so I think with that, there was a lot that I carried as well in terms of, you know, just the burnout, the amount of time I was putting into work, and almost sometimes even the potential and possibilities of who I could be outside of my profession was also actually kind of withering away. And I was actually kind of mentally and physically weighing on me in a lot of ways. And this was
regardless of the health diagnosis, or the health diagnosis kind of help you realize this.
So, you know, it was always in the back of my mind, you know, as a dentist leading up to the actual diagnosis of, you know, always wanting to be kind of more someone outside of my profession and kind of not giving myself the time, you know, to really dedicate towards that. And it was, I guess it was something that was on the back burner, thinking that, oh, there's some hypothetical time where I could, you know, get to it. But, you know, I love my profession. I put a lot of time into like education, but, you know, I was on, I guess, in a rat race or on a hamster wheel, so to speak. And I think in some ways, even leading up to the cancer, it, mentally, it was kind of weighing on me. And sometimes that stress or that lack of kind of meaning, I think I can speak for a lot of people, and dentists especially, it can come to a point where you feel like kind of what's the point of, you know, putting all your eggs in one basket and, you know, kind of losing the kind of your essence to some degree. So it was, I think, maybe a subtle source of stress, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I can get that. All right. So now we get that. So we're in lockdown and you're locked up.
I locked up. Yes.
Yes. And you get your diagnosis, you know, what went through your head? I mean, what kind of things at this point you don't have like, hey, all this stuff is running through your head. Am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? I'm assuming all this stuff is running through your head. Kind of what was your process there to get prepared for the good side of things, what the best case scenario is, and what was your preparation for worst case scenario? Because none of us at 35, we don't plan these things, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, life can, definitely throw you a curveball and, the universe works in very random ways, So, I had a whirlwind of emotions. When I first got the diagnosis through a PET scan, it wasn't clear what type of cancer I had. They initially thought it was lung cancer and because a primary mass was found in my lungs. But after taking a biopsy and, as we know in dentistry, sometimes we kind of, have to definitively have an actual definitive diagnosis before we kind of jump into anything. But long and behold, I actually had lymphoma. It was confirmed that lymphoma, and which was, again, weirdly, kind of a sigh of relief because I soon came to know that it was actually a very treatable cancer. But, just those initial stages, it was, I went from thinking, wow, this was a death sentence. What did I do to deserve this? I think cancer in a lot of ways kind of has kind of a political correct connotation in the sense that everything's it's a random disease. So at the same time, I always thought like, was there something that could have triggered it for me, whether it was a stress, just kind of what I put into my body, just, a world of emotions. Did I have some agency in this? And so I was, a lot of that just kind of was swirling in my head, but, I just didn't know what to think. I mean, I felt like I'd planned out a life that would obviously go on for decades and decades. My family had always been healthy. So I always thought, where could this have come from? But, I think overall, the fact that I was able to come to learn that the lymphoma was very treatable was a huge a reason why I was able to kind of put things perspective fairly early on and during the cancer journey where I was able to, I guess kind of make the most of it with that free time, that where life kind of took a little detour. And obviously, the physical, side of it with the chemo and whatnot was not easy. I had a relatively, easy, not as hard of a time, I would say, as most people, but being young and hope and staying fairly active. But, I think more so than the cancer, like I said, it was, it soon transitioned. The whole experience evolved into a point where it brought a lot of things and a lot of kind of just brought my wife and I closer together, brought some cool projects that emanated from it. And just a whole new perspective on just who I want to be, how I want to approach my profession, and just so many things surrounding that. So it was almost a way for the universe to kind of shake me up in some ways.
Let's kind of move into that part of it. So you're getting treatment, you're starting to feel better, you're moving forward with those things. And then you mentioned that it kind of shook you up. I mean, as it should. I mean, there's no question about that. But you really were, I'm putting words in your mouth here, so I apologize. But really, once you're kind of past that stage of I'm not going to die and I'm in remission, we really have a choice at that point. That choice is to go back to doing what we were doing, or that choice is to maybe make some changes in our life. And it sounds like you took the choice to make some changes in your life.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that permeates, like I said, in a lot of different aspects in terms of health, in terms of profession, in terms of relationships. I've kind of renewed all that, my perspective on all those, where I guess in the professional front, I was able to kind of just say, and then the day, money will come, my profession will always be there, knowing that I will come out of this. And if anything, come out stronger and just kind of, seeing my profession as a blessing and being able to, just kind of maximize on the possibilities with that.
Specifically, if you don't mind me asking, what specifically has changed for you professionally? What are you doing differently in 2021 than you were in early 2020, pre-pandemic, pre-diagnosis?
Sure. I would say leading up to my diagnosis as a dentist, like I said, I tended to work a lot. I found a lot of, I guess, structure, a lot of meaning in that. It just kind of that hustle mentality, which probably almost to a detriment, where it just, as much as joy brought me bringing care to patients, it also, like I said, kind of weighed me down physically. I was probably not the best at kind of taking care of my body in terms of exercising. You know, kind of my diet was, you know, one day good, one day bad. And, you know, a lot of that stuff, to be honest with you, you become what your body feeds you, you know, not even just what you feed your body, not even in terms of food, but in terms of, you know, what you put yourself through physically. And all that stuff really has, you know, it definitely takes a toll. And I think a lot of times we may feel burnout because of what we're kind of doing to ourselves, and not even just with work, but in terms of, you know, are we taking care of ourselves, you know, physically, like exercising and eating the right foods. And a lot of that, to be honest, post cancer, I've changed quite drastically. And
like what have you changed? What's drastically? Like what food things? Like I wrote down that you mentioned that you change what you are feeding your body. I like that you said feeding your body. What do you mean by that? What has changed there?
Yeah. You know, my diet is actually very routine now, and it's, you know, I get up and I have, I've cut out a lot of processed food. I cut out a lot of sugar. You don't sometimes realize how much those types of foods affect your body until you really dig yourself out of it. And you kind of feel what your body can potentially feel like, you know, having gone through cancer, you kind of, you're out of nadir, you're out of bottom. But one thing I learned is that your body has a whole spectrum of what it can feel like physically. And so one thing made it a point is to, you know, eat healthy. So, I mean, I incorporate a lot of fruits and vegetables in the form of a smoothie and juice. And, you know, it takes a while to get used to, but my lunch is very routine with a smoothie and a juice. In the morning, I have eggs and some lentils, you know, and then dinner, I just, you know, I'll have a full, pretty balanced meal. But, you know, I've been fairly routine about, you know, what I've implemented in terms of food, what I've kind of taken out. You know, I've less alcohol, less junk food. And, you know, honestly, just I feel less burnout now. Honestly, I work sometimes, even if I am working a pretty full schedule full time, I don't feel the burnout as much. In fact, as odd as it sounds, I feel sometimes better after my cancer than I do before. And, you know, I think a lot of this can be solved in, I guess, multiple angles. I think it's not just a work thing. I think it's also how we kind of treat our bodies outside of that too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I would say we talk about disruption a lot, and you always say you worry that a lot of the younger dentists will never have the disruption that changes their life or changes their practice. This was not planned. We actually wanted to start a series of people getting over and through that disruption. And then the review that I read today even said he liked how you talked about difficulties. And so I think this is a great way to start this off, because this disruption was not something, you know, you would have expected or at a young age would have thought would have changed your career. But could you imagine it happening 20 years in instead of 10 years in, and how the last 10 years you would have had changing the way you eat, the way you practice, the way you do everything? You'd be a totally different person.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you almost have to feel it to believe it. And I almost feel like you said, you know, to have this, I've gone through this early in some weird way, it's kind of set the tone of what I want to do going down the road in terms of, you know, maximizing what my body's able to, like, kind of give me in terms of energy, in terms of, you know, even the mental capacity. It's honestly, it's a beautiful thing. You know, this may sound a little far-fetched, but, you know, in dentistry, we talk a lot about how sometimes cavities can be reversed, you know, depending, or they can get worse, you know, depending on what you feed, you know, feed your body, you know, your mouth can, the bacteria can feed off of, you know, the sugar and produces the acid and breaks down the teeth. You know, it's a lot of this, all of this kind of has a similar parallel in a lot of ways. You know, I've always been a dentist that's been fairly on the conservative side. I truly, truly believe in the idea of things being able to be reversed. And not only obviously dentally, but just having gone through this cancer journey, just in terms of, you know, I think your body can be very resilient and it can reverse itself out of a lot of diseases, a lot of kind of mental struggles and a lot of things. If you just kind of give it the chance and kind of, you know, hopefully not have a big shakeup like this, but just kind of give yourselves a chance to kind of be disciplined and get to a point where you're like, wow, you know what? Like, I'm convinced. Like, I feel it now. I believe it, and I just want to keep doing it. You know, and it's the body and the mind is such a beautiful thing if you can kind of get yourself to that point. And you know, your energy level just spikes, and it's an amazing thing. The body, the human body, is an amazing thing.
Yeah, you know, the body is amazing. I mean, just look at mine; it's amazing.
All that sugar. Maybe he's been taking some notes. So, I would like to know, what is your best advice for being healthy and fueling your body, and ways that, you know, you could stay motivated? And
Snickers.
I saw, when I pulled into your driveway today, I saw 3 Twix wrappers on the ground.
That's not,
I
don't eat
Twix. Feel like
I'm a Kit Kat guy.
I don't eat Twix. I'm a Snickers guy.
I feel like I know who ate those. I don't feel like you discriminate when it comes to the chocolate.
I do when I have choices. All right, I have a serious question for you. Okay, Meredith, wasn't a serious question. That was a dig at me, is what that was.
Yeah, I was just hoping you would take some notes.
Yeah.
So
I think I got a little too serious. So that was good.
No, this is good. No, this is great.
Yeah.
So can you tell me what specifically, do you have any specific examples of how your work life or your day-to-day work life, you know, number of days you're working, the hours you're working, you know, how has that changed pre-cancer, post-cancer, and has that affected your overall income and things like that?
Yes, it has. You know, I mean, to be honest, as an associate, you know, I'm not sure what it was. If it was just kind of, you know, compensating for, you know, what I put in terms of financially, time wise, where I felt like I had to kind of make up with it. Also, there's maybe an inkling of the kind of the son of an immigrant family type of mentality, where I felt like work was like, you know, it brought kind of a meaning. But that meaning, you know, it was. Kind of just led me nowhere, to be honest. You know, some weeks I would work 6 days, to be honest, and it would just be back to back. And I just come home and quote unquote throw my backpack on the floor and watch Netflix. And, you know, I just wasn't really getting anywhere, to be honest with you. And like for something hypothetical in the future, for things that I probably didn't even care or want, you know, even financially, because of, you know, I always knew myself. I was a pretty simple guy, to be honest with you. But, you know, I've kind of transitioned to honestly working, you know, 3-4 times a week. And for the times that I'm off, even for the times that I am working, I try to stick to a routine where I kind of wake up in the morning, exercise, again, have my regimented breakfast. And then one thing that kind of that I do with that routine is I take some time off to kind of do things I like. So one thing that kind of came out of this whole cancer journey was I've always liked to write. I've always liked to express my opinions and just kind of express like what I feel. And I kind of got the confidence from that, or kind of created the confidence from that through this whole journey, especially with my blog, My Head is a Canvas, where with a lot of the paintings, I have a little bit of a kind of a blurb. But, you know, not only with that, but even during that time, I was able to get an opinion article published in Dental Economics, which was something I had always put in the back burner. And I finally got it published in November of 2020. And just things like that, where I actually had the time, where I gave myself the time and kind of proved to myself that, hey, if I gave myself the time, I could do things that I actually always wanted, you know, instead of just always working. And that success kind of almost begets success. And then you kind of create a plan where when you're not working, you kind of figure out how to implement in your life so that, it, you know, those small steps can, you know, result in actually something. So, you know, I think my life has transitioned to less work, you know, in terms of the actual days, putting more time into CE education, when I have the time off rather than just kind of mindlessly working. And honestly, just, you know, putting some time into some of my passions. And I truly believe that, you know, if I put in the time, that something else may, you know, come out of it rather than me just, you know, being a dentist, you know, for most of my life.
What have you discovered about yourself other than being a dentist that surprised you through all of this? Or is there anything that you've discovered about yourself?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into Full Arch Implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Multiple things. I mean, I think going back to, you know, I think my body is actually pretty resilient, actually, having gone through all this. And like I said, I mean, I feel great. I really do. I feel like my body is, I guess, as cruel as it's been to me, it's also been just as kind. I've renewed my relationships with friends. You know, every day when I have a friend who has a birthday, I just always give them a call because, you know, when I got the news of the diagnosis of cancer, I didn't know what to tell people or should I have sent videos out to all my friends. And so I guess my perspective on friends has, you know, completely changed. And that's something I always valued, you know, in my past and different chapters of my life. And, you know, as time goes on, those relationships kind of withered away. But those are things that, you know, those times are something I still value. And so one thing I've realized is that I can always create time for people, you know, and I think that's, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's relationships, in my opinion. Another thing I learned is, you know, I think fear is such a weak emotion, you know, in so many different ways. I think, especially with me being able to write or kind of express my opinions in whatever fashion or medium is, you know, you'll be surprised sometimes how receptive people will be with how confident someone or how willing someone is to kind of express their thoughts or kind of, you know, put out some ideas. And so that's something where, honestly, this whole, you know, when life threw me lemons, I made lemonades out of it. And I think there was a reason for it, as odd as it sounds. So, I've learned so much about myself in so many, I guess, different ways.
I have a big belief in belief and faith. You know, I think things happen for a reason. Not to get too odd about it, but I think so many things are preordained in a sense. I believe we wish these things upon ourselves. We think it, you know, they say put it out in the universe. And so I think a lot of those things are there. I think, Meredith mentioned it. I always talk about that none of us need change. It's because you were living a great life. It's disruption that brings about meaningful change. And most of the time these disruptions are unplanned or, you know, it's hard to telegraph that they're going to happen. And whether that's COVID or whether that's a cancer diagnosis, whether that was 9/11 for me, whether that, you know, was the stock market and housing crash of 2008, 2009, you know, it's these disruption that bring about meaningful change in our life. I'm so happy that you're able to share these things with everybody else. And, you know, I'm happy that you're around to share these things, but that, you know, you've come out not with an attitude of why did this happen to me, but instead, how can I turn this into a positive and share with others? And that's super important. So, you know, we've talked about your journey. We've talked about, you've shared how your priorities have changed. We've talked about how you've slowed down. And that's, you know, helped you to uncover hidden things or dreams that you had, you know, whether it was writing or whether it's, you know, my head is a canvas and, you know, all of these things. I mean, sometimes the rat, you know, busyness is the enemy, right? Mm-hmm. It gets in the way.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, and so what advice would you give another dentist, you know, what would you tell them from if they were to learn one thing from you?
From your pre-diagnosis life.
Yeah.
Sure.
Where were you then before without, and they're not going to have a diagnosis.
Yeah, we don't want them to have a diagnosis.
So what can you teach them from your experience?
Sure, sure. You know, I think as dentists, we all want to kind of make our name for ourselves primarily through kind of, I guess, the dental field. And, you know, I guess what drew me to you, T-Bone, at the convention was, it's just a fascination of how you took your profession to another level, your ability to kind of speak in front of crowds, how you almost, in your own way, probably tapped into something that you knew you were good at, you know? And I think a lot of us, and I may sound like a broken record, but I think a lot of us, you know, when we're young, you know, take my wife, for example, you know, she always loved painting and that's how we got into this blog, but she didn't stumble upon it again until, you know, until during the cancer diagnosis. So I think so many of us have always so many things on the back burner or something that we want to do or, you know, something that we feel like we'll eventually get to. But, you know, it's okay sometimes to kind of slow down and, you know, really dedicate some time to something that you really truly believe in, something that you want, you know, and those baby steps will you'll be surprised how big they can become in such a quick amount of time. Another thing is, you know, even if all of us dentists go through all types of things, you know, and health issues, obviously, you know, with how much work and energy we put in, it's very likely that some of us will kind of experience that. And, you know, oftentimes that might come at a time where we're least expecting it. So, I think sometimes we kind of plan for this kind of ideal hypothetical time where we're going to have all this freedom, financial freedom, and, you know, time to spend with our family one day, you know, down the road when we're going to slow down. But, you know, I think along the way, you got to take some time to kind of enjoy yourself, you know, just trust that everything will come, I guess. And also just kind of along the way, be kind to your body, you know, just like I said, with taking care of yourself physically, what you're putting inside your body, is kind of practicing what we preach, you know, like we preach that flossing takes away your plaque and your teeth. And that's a preventative measure, but there's so many preventative measures we can do. You know, we can run to kind of get rid of the plaque in our arteries and, you know, or eat well to kind of, you know, sustain ourselves mentally and physically. So I would just say that, you know, there's so many different ways to be kind to your body and, you know, to kind of implement that, you're only doing yourself a favor, you know, in terms of being able to kind of give back to your own profession and just to your family and just your day-to-day life. So I would say if these kind of events do, these hiccups do come in life, try not to take it in vain, you know, try to see the positive, what's been a blessing for you, you know, how you can hopefully make something out of it with the free time or, you know, whatever it be going forward. So, I know that's pretty loaded,
it's great advice. You know, you know, your comments there kind of reminding me of something that I went through, I experienced. This was 1994, 1995. I wanted to take a trip in college and I didn't have the money. I didn't really have any money, so I asked my dad for the money. And it was a frivolous trip. I mean, it wasn't like any type of meaningful trip I shouldn't say meaningful. It wasn't any type of structured trip where I'm going for education, I'm going for something. I'm just going with friends, you know, friends to go have a good time. And I remember asking my dad if I could borrow the money and when I didn't really borrow it. I mean, basically, I called it borrowing, but I was just going to never give it back to him.
Just going to have it.
I was just going to have it.
Yeah.
And I remember what he said to me. He said, I'm happy to give this to you. And I said, well, why do you say that? He goes, you know, I missed out in college a lot of things because I was so worried about money or grades and these things. And he goes, you know, now I've reached a point in my life where I have time freedom or a little bit of money freedom, but I don't have those friends anymore. Those friends are in India and I'm here in the US. And, you know, that stuck out to me that, you know, so many of us, you know, especially as immigrants, as Indians and Asians and, you know, whatever, all immigrants essentially, you know, we're taught to continue to move forward in life, but we're never taught to really stop and enjoy life. You know, I remember growing up, as much as my dad tells me all that stuff, I remember it was about get good grades, get into college. It wasn't just about getting to college, getting to an advanced standing program where you're guaranteed to get into dental school or medical school. You know, you imagine you can get out when you're 20. I mean, I got out of dental school when I was 23 years old. And it's like, how quickly can you open your practice? How quickly can you get married? How quick can you get your kid? Like all these check boxes along the way. And then next thing you know, we're tied down and, you know, we're so far, you know, we're in debt and we've got, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 employees and, you know, taking time, all these things. And it takes disruptions like this to really experience it and hopefully to be able to share it and put that to other people. And you know, that's what I take from our conversation today. And that's what I hope our listeners take from it.
I mean, we learned a lot from our parents. I mean, my dad was he owned a convenience store and he kind of toiled away. He griped at it, but you know, he believed in the American dream, but sometimes that kind of came to his own detriment too, in terms of time and just kind of his relationships with, you know, with the family, and not a bad way, but you know, when you dedicate so much time to something and you don't have time for anything else, it's, you know, you can make all the money in the world. You can, you know, feel like you're accomplished, but you know, at the end of the day, you don't want it to drain you or, you know, take a toll on so many other things. And unfortunately, I think a lot of that with me having worked so hard leading up to my diagnosis is, I guess some of that was hardwired into me when I think you know, in retrospect. And, you know, there's a lot of good cultural things, you know, but I think there's some, a lot of flaws and shortcomings, I guess, and you know, certain cultures that kind of espouse just kind of that hustle mentality. And looking back, it's not something I would probably want to give to my kids or, you know, because I mean, living in this day and age, I mean, the world is for your taking. There's so much else that you can kind of seize upon and, you know, make a name for yourself. It really is, possibilities are limitless. And sometimes when you don't feel like, you know, you've been exposed to that idea or, you know, have that support and only learn that later in life, it's sometimes really, it's kind of upsetting sometimes, you know, it's never too late to do anything. So I try to keep that in mind.
No, it's never. Yeah. That's the beauty of America and the human spirit, right?
Yeah.
Is that we can always figure out a way. Sagar, it's been amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Anybody wants to get in touch with Sagar, it's shahsv86@gmail.com. shahsv86@gmail.com. Or on Instagram and Facebook, it's @myheadisacanvas. And I'd encourage everybody listening to go check out what Sagar does or what his wife does to his bald head.
She's the artist. Where does she get the ideas?
Yeah. You know, I my mind works in mysterious ways. So I kind of have different ideas.
Do you have
like
a plan
for what
she's going to paint?
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. Honestly, some of it we roughly do get online. Like I'll look up a Google image of a cartoon of like, you know, like I wanted to do a chessboard on my head. So I put, you know, draw a chessboard and or, you know, I think coming up, I want to do a bunch of puzzle pieces on my face where I have all these puzzle pieces and one that's kind of blacked out. And the idea being that everything in your life is a puzzle piece and things are still
what you should do is black it out right there over your teeth and paint molars into it. Yeah. So like somebody's
like Halloween, like a skeleton.
Somebody's looking into your mouth or something. Like I could have used that today with a sinus lift. I was like, my hand hurt from just retracting the flap.
Yeah.
Today.
No, I have yet to do a dental one. One of these days I'll definitely do a dental one. But I do encourage everyone to kind of check it out. We didn't get to talk about it too much, but you know, I had a full set of hair. I had a man bun. I was going, you know, I grew my hair out before the cancer, the chemo.
And now you have the same hairstyle as T-Bone.
Yeah. But you know what? I was so upset when I lost my hair, but like I said, I had to do something crazy with my head. So a cool thing came out of this whole journey. You know, my wife's painting my head. I get to ride along with it. And
you have to pay her to paint your head?
No, you know, she gets a lot of the glory, I would say, you know, with the painting. So I think
and
that's
she's
enough,
the artist.
So.
And how long does the paint last?
You know, it's so it depends. You know, it's if we're just doing it, if we start late at night, it'll take like maybe an hour.
This is a PG podcast, okay?
Okay. But if we don't have time to actually kind of display it to the public, then I'll wash it off after, you know, doing it for the gram, quote unquote. And then,
could you go to the office like that?
Yeah, totally. I sometimes do hair designs on my head. So I was actually very hesitant doing this once, but now that I grow my hair out, I kind of etch out designs on my hair. So during 9/11, I went back to New York for the 20-year reunion and just to kind of be back in my old stomping grounds. But I had the World Trade Centers and the U.S. flag etched out in my hair. So there are times when I actually have something quote unquote permanent. And that ends up when I go back to work on Monday. And it's a great conversation started. And I actually tell people about my blog and kind of my journey. And you'll be surprised what people, will be receptive to and, just the creativity that people enjoy and appreciate. So
it's amazing. It's lovely. Actually, yeah. It's very lovely. And thank goodness everything's okay and you've learned so much from this. And I hope everybody else has gained a lot from this. So again, everybody, thank you for tuning in to our podcast. If we can help you, you can help us by leaving some reviews and just helping us spread the word about the podcast. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.